This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As we mentioned, most of this Quran is the journey of Musa alayhi salam. This is a story. The main players inside this story are Fir'aun, Qarun, and Haman. These are the three. This is Fir'aun. This is a tactic that existed right at the beginning. What does he want to do? He wants to slay their children and kill the women. Put that in context in today's world. They come outside houses and they announce them on a megaphone. And people thinking, who are these names that they're asking for? They're names of the children that they want to take out. A child who's 5 years old is dragged, headlocked, persecuted. That's why you even see the small children, you see them. They speak like they're powerful men and women. That we're not going to give in. We're not going to move an inch of our land.
أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing a series of supplications, of calling and beseeching and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby we mention that the natural need of the human being is to be not left in a state of poverty, especially when it comes to the genealogy or the lineage or those family members around them. That we mention that supplication that highlight inside towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan, speaking about Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that amongst his supplications is bestow upon us righteous progeny, righteous children, that they become Quratu A'yunin, they become the coolness of our eyes. That is the spiritual dimension that the human being searches for. Because as we mentioned that amongst even the non-Muslims, that they began to recognize that power is via the amount of children that you have and the wealth that you possess. And this is a natural phenomenon of the human being, as Allah mentioned, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. In the beginning of Surah Al-Imran, Allah mentioned, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, the thing that man loves, the covetous greed to possess and to own these things, is marriage, is women. Al-Banin is children, wealth, gold, silver, branded horses, property, land, tilf. These are the mata', these are the provisions of this dunya, what the human being likes, wants to possess, wants to own. Because Allah mentioned, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ لَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah know what He's created? He knows what the human being, what it wants inside this dunya. That's why Allah mentioned, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth and property is the beautiful things of this dunya that people aspire to have. No one wants to be impoverished. No one wants to be in a state of poverty. No one wants to be in a state of asking or relying upon other people. That's why you find many Arab proverbs are mentioned about poverty. That you find poverty al-faqr wuqudul kufr. That poverty leads a person towards disbelief at times. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined some people will be poor, but it can lead to kufr. That person wants to aspire to attain certain things inside their life, or the environment around them pushes them to begin to maybe steal or to rob or to harm people, to take something thinking that I'm in a state of need, so I have every right to do this inside my life. And also they mentioned, لو كان فقرا رجلا لقتلته. Some of them attribute this to the statement Ali ibn Abi Talib, Umar ibn Khattab. Fa'ihal is a famous statement. If faqr was to be classified as a human being in front of you, laqataltu, you would slay it, you would kill it, because of the harm that poverty can cause upon the person. But people will be at times in poverty. People will be poor. As we find the masakeen, wa du'afa, will enter into paradise 500 years before the rich people. So is there a contradiction between these statements and this understanding? No, there isn't. Because those people have become content in their life. They have contentment. They recognize that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for me. They don't go beyond the limits and the bounds to begin to do haram things or wrong things, to try to claim their share or so-called share of this dunya, and begin to break the hudud, the rights and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And prior to all of this, the Prophet himself mentioned, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. He sought refuge from kufr, disbelief, and faqr, poverty. You can see the relationship that we mentioned.
that poverty can lead towards kufr, towards disbelief, towards being ungrateful with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon every single one of us. And in the grand scheme of things, that we are all in need. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu wa antum al-fuqara. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's they all rich. We are fuqara. We are all poor in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even whatever we possess of this dunya, what we own, whatever we claim to have, it's all mahlullah. It's all the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're just playing custodians on this dunya. That's all that we're playing. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find in this ayah and this discussion, is going to speak about those people who believe that wealth, power, control, might, authority belongs to them. And they make such audacious statements as, we deserve it. It belongs to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected us to be those people in sovereign power, in governing over people, and is a mantiq, a logic that Quran speaks about heavily and deeply. That many of us can't seem to extract those lessons inside the Quran. The Quran is a story that plays again and again and again. That's when people think that the Quran stops. Al-Quran yatakarrar, it continues stories. It continues history. It continues life. Because it doesn't stop at one prophet or one generation, one people. It continues for all time. As we mentioned, the Quran is timeless. It's a timeless journey that any moment you can read the Quran, see certain verses of the Quran, they come into play. They come into motion and you begin to see the world around us. And this is what the Quran, even today, is what it's speaking about. If only we understood the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find that these worldly riches and these spiritual riches, because when we mention that the wife of Fir'aun, she wanted a worldly rich, that she wanted her own child. So she made the same statement of Quratu A'yun, Quratu Ayn, that I want a coolness of my eyes. She wanted a child. So whatever we want, the riches of the dunya, the riches of the akhirah, it's all in that supplication that we make on a daily basis. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Give us good in this world and give us good in the hereafter. A good world, a good life, good things in this dunya that we can use to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us good inside al-akhirah and save us from the punishment of the hellfire is the greatest goal that we find. So in those supplications we spoke about from Surah Al-Furqan, that to show the human nature, just like we spoke about Yunus and Zakaria and all these previous prophets, some of these supplications there to show the human nature for us human beings in our lives. That look what these prophets, what they went through. And look how they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at their wording. Look at their state. Haluhum. Their condition. You know, these are loved individuals by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'zamul khalq. The best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how sometimes He takes them on such a hard journey. Exploits them to such a degree to bring out the best of them. The best of a mankind, best of humans. For what purpose? لِأَيْ قَصْ لِأَيْ غَايَ. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the Prophet through so many hardships, so many difficulties, loves him abundantly, selected him and chose him, drove him through all these hardships to refine himself? That's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah speaks about, that when hardships come upon a people or come upon a person, it's only to clear the environment. It's to clear the environment that what comes next is going to be far greater blessings, far greater peace, far greater success. So at that moment in time, we just see these hardships. We see this bloodshed, turmoil, destruction, tribulation, fitan, trials, tadbir, destruction. That's what we see all around us. But inside that, all of that, there's something that we can't imagine. We can't understand what's going to take place beyond that. And amongst those prophets in that grand scheme of things is Musa alayhi salam. As we mentioned, most of this Quran speaks about is the journey of Musa alayhi salam, the grand scheme of things, the amount of difficulties that this prophet, he went through. That's what Allah mentioned. Wasbir kama sabara ul azmi min ar-rusul. Be patient like those grand prophets. And ulama tafaseed mentioned the grand prophets are five prophets. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, wa Isa, wa Nabiyuna Muhammad. These are the grand prophets, ulul azmi min ar-rusul. Read about their lives, their seerahs. Why does Allah select these five out of the 25 mentioned inside the Quran and the others that came after them or before them? Why these specific prophets? Read their seerahs to see what they went through, these individuals. That's when the hadith inside Bukhari, when Musa alayhi salam, or the prophets I mentioned, when he made the Isra wal Mi'raj journey, uridat alayhi al-umam, I saw the nations. And he saw this sawadun azim, I saw this great black crowd or great clustering or gathering of people, immense crowd of people, millions of people. And he thought that that was his nation. He thought that was his people. He said, no, that's not your people. That is the people of Musa. That's not your people to the Prophet. That is the people Musa. Then he said, look to the opposite direction and see your nation. That your nation will be far more greater nation than the nation of Musa alayhi salam. In another hadith inside Sahih Muslim that we find in speaking about the night journey as well, where the Prophet has made this journey, going up into the heavens, meeting all different prophets, leading them in prayer in Baytul Maqdis. The hook whereby he left the Buraq, we tied the Buraq, still remains in Baytul Maqdis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate it once again. It's a blessed region, blessed environment, where he tied the Buraq, and then he was taken up into the heavens from beyond that. And when he stepped into all the different stages of the heavens, he met different prophets and he greeted them. They said, who is this young prophet amongst us, beloved prophet who came after us? When he goes past the sixth heaven, he goes past Musa alayhi salam. Goes past Musa alayhi salam, or gives him salam, gives him greetings. Then Musa alayhi salam begins to weep. Bada an yabki. Musa begins to cry. It's like Sahih Muslim Kitab al-Iman. It's like Musa, this strong character, this strong individual. That why is Musa, why is he crying? He said that this young individual has got a far greater following and nation than me. I thought I had such a great following. But look at this young prophet, the amount of people that came after him following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as we find that this journey of Musa alayhi salam in a state of weakness, of fatigue and tiredness, it's a long journey right from the beginning, Surah Al-Baqarah. It just begins with Musa alayhi salam. It begins with Bani Israel. The journey just continues throughout the Quran of the journey of Musa alayhi salam. But specifically inside Surah Al-Qasas, in the 28th chapter of the Quran, the 77 or 88 odd verses that we find in Meccan Surah, except for one verse some ulama begin to discuss. Even the surah is called Surah Al-Qasas, the surah of stories. Even Ibn Ashur mentioned that the word Qasas is mentioned inside the Quran, previously inside Surah Yusuf. But Surah Yusuf is sent down afterwards. So that's why this surah is given the story of being called Surah Al-Qasas. فَلَمَّا جَعُهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصَ Based upon this verse that occurs inside the surah, that when he came to his one view, Shu'aib alayhi salam, when he came to the father of the two daughters and he narrated his story to them. So this is the story of Musa alayhi salam. That's why Imam Suyuti mentions that Al-Quran kullu is Musa alayhi salam. The whole of the Quran is just Musa alayhi salam. Hundreds of times Musa is mentioned inside the Quran. So as if this surah, even is called Surah Al-Qasas, can be called Surah Musa. Because of these 88 verses, the first 50 verses I only speak about Musa alayhi salam. Then a slight pause and a break. And from verse 75 or 77 onwards, all the way to the end of the surah, it returns back to the story of Musa alayhi salam. So as if the whole story, the whole surah, this story mentioned inside this surah is nothing but Musa alayhi salam. Amongst the tawasim. Tawasim is the surahs that begin with ta-seen meem. Only three surahs begin with ta-seen meem inside the Quran. They run in accordance. Surah al-Shu'ara, the 26th chapter, then Surah al-Naml, then Surah al-Qasas. It comes to the conclusion of these surahs that we find. There's a sir that some of the ulama begin to discuss about this attribute of these surahs being given these titles, being given these names. As for maqasid al-surah, what is the intent of this surah? Because obviously we can't go through all 88 verses. But ulama plucked out the main intent of this surah that's plausible inside this discussion is to show Qudratullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what ulama mentioned, ulama tafaseer, that the mawdu'a this surah is to show the strength and the power of Allah, how will destroy these individuals and those who become full of pride and arrogance about themselves. Secondly, we find tathbeetul mu'mineen, to give affirmation to the believing individual. As the verse itself mentioned, al-ghalibun, you're going to be successful. Another place in the same surah mentioned, al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen, the end is going to be for the pious individuals. So this conviction inside this surah that even all these hardships, all these difficulties, there's going to be victory for the believers, for the Muslims, that's going to take place. And likewise, Imam Baqa'i mentions, At-tawadu' lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be a humble person, to be humble individual, with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And also inside this surah, we find some of the topics that this surah begins to speak about, is the Quran itself as it begins with. It speaks about dhikr tughyan fir'aun, speaks about the oppression of fir'aun that he carried out, wa ifsaduhu, and the corruption he carried out upon this earth. Wa dhikr milad Musa alayhi salam, the dhikr of the birth of Musa alayhi salam, and the story of al-Qibti, when Musa alayhi salam went and killed this individual, is mentioned inside this surah. And likewise, you find the strengthening of the iman of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And at the end of the surah, we find the qissa of Qarun and his oppression that he began to carry out upon his people, the surah begins to speak about. And just to look at certain verses, before we come to the main verse, this main dua of Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Because we have to mention the prelude to this. How does Musa alayhi salam come to this state of making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can use today? Oh my Lord, I'm in a state of weakness, poverty. I'm in a bad state. Whatever you send up down upon me, I'm in need of it. So you have to read the prelude to understand the journey of this surah, the journey of Musa alayhi salam, to why does he eventually come to make this supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because this isn't one of those occasions that Allah just mentions the verse. Allah mentions a whole prelude, a whole journey of Musa alayhi salam, just like Yusuf alayhi salam mentions the whole journey when it comes to this dire state and his dire need. Tasim mim, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. By these haruf muqatta'at, indeed this is a clear book that we sent down. Natlu alayka min nabi Musa wa fir'auna bilhaq. We send down the story of Musa alayhi salam and his relation with Fir'aun with truth. Liqawmi yu'minun, for people to believe, to revitalize their iman. That's what Ibn Kathir, he mentioned. This verse is just like how Allah began Surah Yusuf. Allah began Surah Yusuf and mentioning, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِيلًا مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. That's how Ibn Kathir understands this verse. That is a true story. Just like the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, pay attention to this story. What happened to Musa alayhi salam inside this journey? إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Fir'aun became arrogant. عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's another place at the end of the Quran he mentions about himself. When he speaks about himself, what does he say? أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I'm your almighty Lord. Another place in the Quran he mentions, don't you see? I'm your mighty God. I'm your Lord. I'm your deity. You should worship me. Don't you see these rivers flowing underneath my palace? Then he says to his servants as well, says to the followers around him, do you know another deity besides me? Look at his arrogance. Look at his kalimat. Look at his words. How he professes himself, how he displays himself. And you could see the fara'ina. You could see in the museums, even Egypt at the moment, how they displayed their strength, their might, their power, their arrogance to show to the people. That's why they had this false batil belief that when we die, all our treasures that are buried with us will take us to the hereafter. That's why they built these supreme pyramids that remain today, was classified as the seven wonders of the world. They're not wonders of the world, they're signs, ayat, lil mutawassimin, to see that these people built these great big pyramids and believe that they could protect themselves from death. And they believe that in the hereafter, we're going to take our treasures, all this gold, these treasures we buried inside the depths of these pyramids. We're going to be resurrected with it inside al-akhirah. That's their belief. That was their conviction. Even today, that's what people, they think. They think they can buy life and death. They think that when we die, we're going to return back once again. Because the Quran mentions that on the day of judgment, that the believing individuals, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, they'll be standing there. They'll be reclining on their couches, on the couches. They'll be laughing at them because they used to laugh us inside this dunya. Every time they go past the believing individuals, they scoff at them. They look down upon them. They belittle them. Look at the kalimat of some of these people at the moment. It's not hidden. Look at their hatred. The Muslims are scums. We need to wipe out all the Palestinians. We need to wipe out the whole of Gaza. They don't deserve to live. They're creatures, they're spiders, they're ants, they're evil people, they're animals. They don't deserve a life. They need to be wiped out. These are open words they profess, that they're saying to the whole world. And then they're saying to the whole world, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. This is what our vision is. This is what we want to do. Dare anyone come and stand in front of us? And what is the state of us? What is the state of our weakness that we find? Just like in Musa alayhi salam, when they said to Musa after saying all these armies, all this journey, they said to Musa, "Inna la mudrakun." We're going to be overpowered. There's Fir'aun behind us with all of his troops. Musa alayhi salam, in his journey, what does he say to his people? What does he remind them? We're not living for 50, 60 years. We've been here for 1,445 years. That's how long Muslims have been here for. Even prior to that, but as Muslims of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, that's how long we've been here for. Where's that conviction? Where's that iman? What does Musa say to his people? Qala kalla. He said, no, we're not going to be overtaken. Inna ma'i rabbi sayahdeen. My Lord is with me. He's going to guide me. He's going to give us victory. Don't give up hope. That's what the Palestinian people, they said, that the greatest thing you can give up on them, the greatest thing you can give up on them is hope. When you give up hope, we've lost. Whenever you have hope within you, you climb mountains. You achieve so many things inside your life because hope is a burning desire. Hope is a conviction that is not extinguished. The hope of al-Iman. That's what we need to instill within ourselves. That's the journey of Musa alayhi salam. He continues throughout his life. Continues on every single avenue in his journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This individual Fir'aun, وَجَعَلْ أَهْلَ شِيَعًا. He split their groups of people. He divided fractions. Study history, study today. Fractions of the Palestinian people divided in fractions for what purpose? To make them fight amongst themselves. But look what Iman does. What does Iman do? You can spend all the money on the earth. مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You cannot unite hearts of believers. You can't unite Muslims. You spend all the money, you can't buy a Muslim. You can't buy him to be a Muslim. You can't buy him to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites the hearts. This is a tactic that existed right at the beginning of the journey of Fir'aun that we find. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. What does he want to do? إِنَّوْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He wants to slay their children. Slay the children. And kill the women. Put that in context in today's world. Kill the children and slay the women. This is Fir'aun. This is Fir'aunic traits. Characteristics of Fir'aun. Kill the children. Get the children out of the way because they fear. Just like Fir'aun knew that when he saw that dream and he asked his advisors, who's going to destroy me? He saw it in a dream. Someone's going to destroy me. It's Musa alayhi salam. That's why he get executed. Ibn Kathir writes a whole story about these verses at Surah Al-Qasas. He writes a whole story. They wanted to get Musa. They wanted to catch him. But they said, you know what? If we start slaying all the children, we're going to have no slaves to till the land, to take care of the land. So the wuzara said, you know what? Leave them 1 year, then slay them the following year. So Harun was born in the year that boys were not to be slayed. He's the older brother of Musa alayhi salam. Then when Musa's turn came, Ibn Kathir mentioned that even his mother didn't have the signs of pregnancy upon her. But they had spies. They had intelligence. There are people going around looking at people's homes. Just like today, read the history of Palestine. They have names of people. They have names of people. Names of whom? Shall I share with names of whom? Names of children. Names of children we need to take. They come outside houses and they announce them on a megaphone. And people thinking, who are these names that they're asking for? They're names of the children that they want to take out. A child who's 5 years old is charged, 5 years old, is dragged as if he's some form of vicious individual, headlocked, persecuted. For what purpose? It doesn't harm them. They retaliate with gas. They retaliate with rubber bullets. And then when it serves their interest, they retaliate with live bullets. They retaliate with live bullets on the children. This is all the way of the Fir'aun understanding of life of the world, which the Quran has depicted thousands of years ago. Giving a description of these individuals, إِنَّوْ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. That this individual is a corrupt individual. That's what you find, stay away from such statements as ana li and indi, that I have this, or I own this, or this belongs to me. These are all paths of arrogance. That's why Fir'aun mentioned, or before that shaitan mentioned, ana khayru minhu. Shaitan believed he's better than Adam alayhi salam. Just like today, some humans feel they're better than other humans. We're better than these people. And likewise, you find li, when Fir'aun said, alaysa li mulku Misr, don't you see, I own the palace, the kingdom of Misr belongs to me. And indi, we come to the story of Qarun, when he said that I've been given this wealth, utitu ala ilmin indi, I've been given this knowledge and this wealth because of my own skill. That's why Qarun is mentioned inside this surah. Likewise, Haman and Fir'aun. Just we mentioned, to use linguistics, this is a play. This is a story. The main players inside this story are Fir'aun, are Qarun and Haman. These are the three leaders of disbelief that we find are mentioned inside this surah. How they begin to carry out the atrocities. That's why Fir'aun said to Haman, build for me from clay. Build for me a ladder. That I may, attali'u ila ilahi Musa, I may climb this ladder and see the God of Musa. Just like these people say when they shoot and they kill us, show us your God. Show us where your God is today. All the way of Fir'aun that we find. So he's trying to mock Musa alayhi salam and mock his people. And likewise you find Qarun. Inna Qarun kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim. Qarun was from the family of Musa, but he began to carry out these oppressions. As we're going to later, we're going to mention. But continue this journey in the beginning. Allah mentioned, awhayna ila Musa, ila ummi Musa and ardi'ihi. Returning back to the story of Musa and his mother, when they began, intelligence began to discover that this Musa, there's a baby inside this house. So Ibn Kathir mentions that she built a tabut, a small basket, what we call in today's language, the Moses basket. And she placed Musa inside that basket because their house was on the edge of the river Nile. And she'd released the basket to go out. So when the soldiers and intelligence came in, they couldn't find anybody except for Harun and maybe some of the other siblings. They would return. And one day in their rush, in their haste, the soldiers came and she put Musa inside the basket and she forgot to tie up the basket. She forgot to tie the basket and Musa is left as the soldiers enter and they look around and they run out again. She returns to grab the rope. But Musa's gone. Musa has drifted away. Look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He drifts away all the way until where does he reach? He comes to the edge of the palace of Fir'aun. A lovable child. That's what Ibn Kathir mentioned. Such beauty and love was there. Whoever looked, glanced upon Musa would fall in love with Musa alayhi salam. So when he comes to the edge of the palace of Fir'aun and some of the servants, female servants, maids of Asia are there and they see this basket, they grasp this basket, they want to bring it back to their leader, to the woman in charge of them. And when they open up this basket, she sees this beautiful child. And remember, she's barrenless. She doesn't have a child. She immediately falls in love with Musa and wants to keep Musa. Remember, this is the same Musa who's going to destroy Fir'aun, returns back in the house of Fir'aun, trying to escape Musa away. But he's come deep down into the house and he's brought up inside the house of Fir'aun. That's what Allah mentioned. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. And when you become fearful of him, put him inside the basket, put him inside the river. And then Allah mentioned, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّ رَادُّوا إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوا مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That's what ulama tafsir mentioned. This is a place inside the Quran. Two informations, two prohibitions, two glad tidings, all put together for this mother of Musa alayhi salam. We're inna raduhu ilayki. We're going to bring Musa back to you. Mustahil. How can Musa alayhi salam come back to his own mother? How's that going to pan out? How's that going to take place? So Ibn Kathir continues the narration, continues the story. That Musa alayhi salam doesn't drink milk from the breast of any woman. Doesn't drink it. So the sister of Musa is following and find out what's happened. So they brought Musa to the marketplace. That is there a woman who has a child who can feed Musa because he's not drinking the milk. So when Musa's sister sees that, She says to them, should I not guide you towards a family whereby there is a mother whereby he will drink the milk? So they bring Musa to his own mother and she feeds him. He goes back again. Asya sends many gifts and maids and servants and everything. She said, I don't want any of this. They want her to come to the palace and feed Musa every day. They want her to come, his mother, his biological mother, to come to the palace and feed him every single day. She says, no, I've got responsibilities. I've got other children. Bring Musa to me. Inna radu ilayki. We're going to bring him back to you. Ya ummi Musa. So he would come daily back to his mother. He'll be fed. He'll be changed. He'd love and affection given to him, his biological mother. This is the plan of Allah. We don't seem to understand that plan. وَجَعِلُوا مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And we're going to make him to become amongst the prophets. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ When he became strong and powerful, we gave him wisdom, foresightedness, insight. We made him a prophet. We gave him wisdom. This is Musa alayhi salam. وَدَخَلَ الْمِنْرِينَةَ أَلَحِينَ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا He entered into the city. Ibn Kathir mentions either the time of Qaylula after Dhuhr that people were resting or later stage, people were unaware. When he entered inside the city, what did he find? Two people fighting amongst themselves. So the person calls to Musa because Musa, as he's grown up, he's got the traits. Fir'aun knows who he is. Fir'aun is availing the opportunity to grasp, to get hold of Musa, but he can't because Asya is protecting him. So this is a moment now that Fir'aun can catch him. Because when you find that this Qibti, the Coptic Egyptian, is fighting with, and Musa, he's trying to stop this fighting that's taking place. He's trying to stop the fighting. And Musa, what did he begin to do? He accidentally hit him. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ He hit this individual. Whether he pushed him or he touched him. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ This person, he died. He said, this is the action of shaitan. فَوَكَزَ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ You know, Musa alayhi salam, you read his seerah, was a powerful individual. Was a strong individual. Strong personality. Strong in his body structure. And even if you look at the hadith, inside the chapter that we find inside Sahih Muslim, يَنِي مَنْ أَحَبَّ الْأَدَّفَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ وَنَحْوِهَا Strange how ulama place certain ahadith. Whoever wants to be buried inside the area of Baytul Maqdis or around this area, that's the chapter heading given by Sahih Muslim. And what hadith does he narrate place inside there? He places the hadith of Musa alayhi salam. When the angel of death comes to Musa alayhi salam to take his life. Musa alayhi salam doesn't recognize him, just sees it as just another individual and he smacks him. It shows the strength of Musa alayhi salam. We take it literally, smacks him and the eye of the angel pops out. The angel goes back to Allah and says that you told me to take this servant of yours. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to go die. Go return back to him. He comes back to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam says, what is it? What do you want from me? He said that we want to take you deaf. So he said that if I grasp the number of hair on this, on an ox or on a bull, whatever hair remaining, that's how much more life will I have? Will be granted to me? He said, what will happen after that? He said, death. He said, if death is today or tomorrow, then you may as well take me now. That's why Imam Muslim plays a chapter to die in Baytul Maqdis, because he's buried somewhere there. Musa is buried somewhere in that location. Ibrahim alayhi salam is buried somewhere in that location. Many prophets are buried inside that location, because it is Ardul Muqaddasa. It's a blessed environment. That's when some Muslims will say, oh, why are we making Palestine the first cause of Muslims? Are not the Uyghur Muslims important? Are not the Kashmiri Muslims important? Are not the Iraqis, the Suris important? Yes, they're all important. They're all important. But this becomes more important because of why it's Ardul Muqaddasa. Because of the environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks inside the Quran certain mawat, in certain locations, certain places, certain times that become more rewarding and more blessed because of certain locations, certain places that we find. فَخَرَجَ مِنَ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ Musa alayhi salam, after killing this individual, they've sent out an entourage of soldiers, go and get Musa. But this is our excuse. He's carried out this action of killing one of our soldiers. So Fir'aun delegates, go out and find this Musa. Bring him now. Now we have an excuse to execute him. But an advisor, because remember, he has advisors around him. Musa alayhi salam as well does. Living in the house of Fir'aun, people grew to love and have affection towards him. So they came and said to Musa, you better scarper, you better leave. They're planning to kill you. So he left the city. خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He's scared and looking around. You know, showing the human nature that any minute, the army of Fir'aun are going to come upon me. قَرَّبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh my Lord, give me success from these oppressive people. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَى مَدْيَنَا. Then when he came to headed towards the land of Madian, قَالَ أَسَى رَبِّي يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَى السَّبِيلِ. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may guide me inside his journey, inside my path. If we return back to Tafsir ibn Kathir, inside Surah Al-Qasas that we find narrating the story what took place with Musa alayhi salam, he highlights that كَانَ حَافِيًا. Musa alayhi salam was walking barefooted. That they said that even till eventually the skin on the bottom of his foot began to drop off. Remember, as we began with, this is a precious individual of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has to go through this tedious task, this harsh job. Imam Suyuti, if I'm not mistaken, inside his tafsir, he begins to speak about that his lips become green, become dry, just eating a bare minimum of some plants, some seeds, seedlings, some leaves that he eats on his long journey from Misr all the way to Madian. Is the state of Musa alayhi salam that we find. And thus we find that when he enters into the city and he sees the flock of shepherds and he sees these two girls that we find that they are now standing outside the arena, outside the environment of these men. And he finds it very strange. And you look at this scenario. You know, sometimes when people say, oh, there's this going on, why are we speaking about whether a Muslim should wear a hijab properly? Why should we speak about whether a Muslim should pray properly? We should be worried about all these things. We should be worried about all these things in unison, try our best to encourage one another. Musa alayhi salam is in that diabolical state. What does he do? He sees these two girls. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. Why are you two girls here? Why are you here surrounded by all these men around you? What are you doing here? It's not befitting for you to be here. So they have to give the excuse. They have to say that the only reason why we're here because our father is an elderly man. There's no other male individual inside the home. We have to come out and bring our buckets and pick up the water and take it back home. So Musa alayhi salam, that's what some of the ulama tafsir mentioned, that some of these shepherds, what they did, that they used to place the rock, push the rock over the well and just leave some remnants of water for other people. Remember, Musa alayhi salam, hafiyan, tired, fatigued, downtrodden, weak, feeble. Musa alayhi salam comes to the rock and he pushes it. He moves it away for them and lets the girls come and to take their water. And then he goes underneath the tree, goes, lies down underneath the tree. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. He goes under the shade underneath the tree. فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. And that's the dua. After all these verses, then he comes to that state that he lies underneath the tree and he just sits there. And says, oh my Lord, whatever you send down upon me, I'm in a state of dire need. Some of the ulama tafsir mentioned, he just said, give me some morsels of bread, some crumbs of bread. Give me half a date. He's not even saying, Allah, give me a feast. I'm your prophet. I'm your messenger. I'm the one that you spoke to. وَقَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Now I'm speaking to you, Ya Allah. Give me this. رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Whatever you give me, I'm in dire need of it. And when he says that dua, he doesn't raise his voice. He doesn't say in a voice that we may say, oh, you know what? I'm starving. I'm hungry. I'm in need. Help me. He just says it quietly underneath the tree. One of the girls hears the dua. One of the girls hears the dua. And that's why when she returns back to her father, and her father, amongst the majority of you, the father is Shu'aib alayhi salam. One who, Ibn Kathir, he rejects that. But ayyuhal, let's accept it, is Shu'aib alayhi salam, or a righteous man, or from his lineage or his family. But focus on the story. He says, why have you come back so early? Because normally you come back a certain time. Why have you come so early? And they narrate to their father, this, we saw this individual who carried out his actions. So he says, bring this individual to me. So you find that, فَجَاءَتْ إِحْدَهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. One of them returned back to him. تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. Look at the lessons. Ibn Uthaymeen said in Tafsir Surah Al-Qasr mentioned Kamalul Adab, immaculate etiquettes. Ibn Kathir mentioned Faghatti ala wajhiha, she covered her face. She covered her face in coming in front of this strange man, Musa alayhi salam, who's a prophet of Allah. Walks in a state of bashfulness. Says to him that indeed my father is calling you. That is some of the ulama tafsir, they mentioned, look at the kalimat, look at the adab, not to give any element of excuse or thought, wrong concept. It's my father who's calling you to speak to you, to ask you what took place and what the story is. This is why you find that ulama speak about the man of adab, that you find Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions that Musa is, I'm seeking no reward. Fatawalla ila dhil, he went underneath the shajara inside the tree. Some ulama tafsir began to mention some ajaib, what type of tree, whatever it may be. It doesn't concern us. Just lies there, just sits there. That's why Allah mentioned, was'alullah min fadlihi, ask Allah from his bounty. That's what Musa alayhi salam is doing. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, call upon me and I'll respond to you. Imam Qurtubi mentions talabu ta'am. He just requested some food from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that these girls, that they return back. And so when he narrates this story to their father, he said that you've done the best thing, what you've done. And one of them says that hire this individual. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. The best person you can hire is a strong and a trustworthy individual. Ibn Kathir begins to mention, how do we know that Musa alayhi salam is al-qawi al-ameen? How do we know he's strong? He's shown that he's strong. In a dire need, he moves a whole rock, a whole boulder from a well, he moves it. That shows the strength of Musa alayhi salam, al-qawi. How do we know he's al-ameen? He's trustworthy. We know he's trustworthy because the girls narrate. He never glanced at them. He never looked at them. As we find so many different descriptions of the nature of Musa alayhi salam, as we mentioned many times, that he walked in front of them, they walked behind him, they threw stones to show him the direction. He's shown he's a trustworthy individual. He's a strong personality. He's a trustworthy man. That's why you find that their father gives him this option, that you can marry one of my daughters, stay here, live with us for either 8 or 10 years. Whichever one of them that you carry out, I will not complain about that. That's what your ujra, that's what you need to do. And he completes it, and then he makes that return that back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the story begins to continue of meeting and speaking to Allah, returning to Fir'aun, as we mentioned, up to 50 verses. Or these 88 verses speaking about Fir'aun, speaking about Musa, and then they return again after the 77th verse, 76th verse. It returns to this final character that we find is a character of Qarun. إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Qarun was from the family of Musa, and he began to become oppressive towards them because of the wealth that he had. Read the end of Surah Al-Qasas when it speaks about the wealth he had, that the keys were held by Usba, by strong men. Usba in the Arabic language carries the meaning of 10 men. 10 strong men are holding the keys. The keys, Imam Suyuti narrates inside as a tafsir of Dur al-Manthur, that there were 70 bighal, 70 donkeys, mules, that had the treasures. The treasures that belonged to Qarun. So he began to boast upon himself. And he said to this individual, إِذْ قَالُوا الْقَوْمُ لَا تَحْفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Don't boast. Don't become an arrogant individual, because he began to say to his people that this has been given because of my own skill. I'm an intelligent person. I had the ability to turn money over or create this treasure, have this treasure. So it's something Allah has given this to me. So I have the right to carry out these actions. Look, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah mentioned, look what we've done to Qarun. How we destroyed Qarun, him and his wealth and his home are sinking in the ground. And what do we do to Fir'aun? Look, let's read Surah Yunus. Read Surah Yunus, what happened to Fir'aun. When he said, Al-An, وَقَدْ أَسَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Now you want to believe and use from amongst the mufsideen. That's a key ayat inside this surah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah doesn't like corrupt individuals. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah doesn't guide oppressive people. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah doesn't give success to oppressive individuals. key ayat inside these surah. There should be lessons for us, the fawaid. Likewise, Musa mentioned, فَلَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. When he killed the individual, he said, never in my life am I going to aid criminals. I made this mistake, but I'm never going to stand again with criminals again inside my life. And likewise, inside this surah that you find, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You can't guide whom you love. Musa is in the home of Fir'aun. A prophet in his house, he's still not guided. Allah mentions this inside this surah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. You can't guide whom you love. It's not for you to guide people, but Allah is the one that guides. And likewise, another key ayah inside this surah, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness to people like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown goodness to you. So whatever blessings that we have, we should show goodness. That the time, the wealth, the property, the mind, the skill, ability that we have today in the free world that we live in, we should use that to support the other causes, the other people around us, to alleviate their sufferings and their hardship. And as the end of the surah, it mentions, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ لَوْ الْحُكْمُ وَلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. The end of the surah concludes, what's the end going to be? Just like Musa alayhi salam, when he said to the angel of death, if I'm going to die now or tomorrow, I may as well die today. And that's what the Palestinian people say as well. If we're going to die today or tomorrow, we may as well die today. Because we know we're going to die tomorrow. It makes no difference to us. We know what's going to happen to us. We're going to be bombarded. We're going to be bombed. We're going to be harmed. We know that. Death is always inside our eyes. Death is right in front of us. It's all there. That's why you even see the small children, you see them. They visualize death. They see it clearly. They speak like they're powerful men and women. They're speaking with a mind that we can't comprehend. That we're not going to give in. We're not going to move an inch of our land. We're not going to move an inch. This is our land. We know what you're going to do to us. The atrocities and the hardships you're going to place upon us. And you're going to bombard us. But we're going to remain vigilant. What should I give to us? As we began with that hope and that aspiration, that strength. That as we in our comfortable lives, what are we doing about this cause? And if we don't do anything, as the end of the surah it mentions, everything will perish. Everything will die and all of us will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.